Preaching at the big feasts is always a challenge because there is so much. We've heard a lot in the liturgy tonight to give us a sort of background and understanding of what's happening in this feast. Also, the other challenge is that it's quite late and there's children here and we're all tired. So I've got three small points which I hope will help us to reflect on the feast. And I've got three points: finding, fighting, and family. Finding, first of all. 9 months ago, God in heaven found a teenage girl in Roman-occupied Palestine. He found a girl who was willing to say yes. Yes to being the mother of the Son of God who was coming into the world. And that was the change, a huge change in the history of the world. God becomes a human being. He puts on human flesh. It's called the incarnation. And it's changed the world. Everything before his birth is BC, before Christ, and everything after his birth is AD, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Now, in some books these days, you'll find that they talk about BCE and CE. BCE stands for before the common era, and CE stands for the common era. I don't see anything common about the birth of God into this world. So this is an attempt to try to erase the history of God coming into this world. So I always use BC and AD, and we always should, all of us, should use that. So anyway, God found the girl of his dreams, in a way, who said yes to him. Have we said yes to God this year? Doesn't matter how young we are. Mary was a teenager when she said yes to God. Have we said yes to God yet? It's a good question for us all to think about. And then the icon here is leading me to think about the shepherds, the wise men, and Joseph. They're all in the icon. And they all found Jesus as well. The shepherds were fortunate. They were just going about their own everyday business. And suddenly the heavens are lit up with angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest, peace to God, glory to God and peace to men on earth." Excuse my throat. But the wise men, they had to search. They had to search hard. In fact, Herod said to them, after he brought them to his place, he said, "Go and search diligently for the child." And Joseph had to struggle through doubts. If you were here for Matins, you would have heard how he doubted, first of all, that this was, in fact, the Son of God coming into the world, and an angel had to appear to him. So there's all sorts of different ways to finding God. And we might all, if we talk to each other, find that we had different experiences of God. But if you're looking for God, you will find him. He will reveal himself eventually. Sometimes after a struggle, sometimes after diligent study, and sometimes he'll just reveal himself to us. So that's finding God. Second, fighting. The angels, who are also in the icons, said, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth and goodwill among men." Peace in the world usually means a calm before two wars, unfortunately. That seems to be the way it is. We've had quite a long period of time between the last major war, World War II, although there's been little wars between, of course, which have taken a lot of lives and caused a lot of problems. But the peace of God, which they're talking about here, is a different peace altogether. The kingdoms of this world are fighting each other all the time to try and get peace their way. But the kingdom of God will never, ever end. It goes on forever. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Sometimes during wars, like in World War I, there was a peace between the Western, between the Germans and the Allies in the middle of the war. And it's nice. that this happens, because they're all Christian and they decided to do that. This time, with the Ukrainian war, the Russians have been willing to have peace for Christmas, but the Western world has refused. Categorically, absolutely refused. Now think about that. Why would the West, who, do they call themselves, do we call ourselves Christian anymore? Why would we refuse to have a peace time at Christmas when the Prince of Peace came into the world? We need to think about who we're electing in our democracies and so on. So, because the Western world seems to be bent on war at the moment, unfortunately. And if you read St. John of Kronstadt's book, My Life in Christ, he actually says in there, and he was writing before the communist revolution in Russia, when he was very concerned about the state of the church in Russia. And he said, the church is asleep. And when the church goes to sleep, God wakes the church up through wars, pandemics, shortages of food, things like this. So when we hear what's going on in the world, don't panic, repent, wake up, pray. God is trying to get our attention, all of us, especially at this Christmas time. But for us, we can, whatever's going on in the world, we can experience that peace of God which passes all understanding. Because of the marvelous peace between heaven and earth and between God and man, which Jesus, in his life, death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, has brought about for us. So that takes me to the third point. We have finding, fighting, and now family. I sometimes get annoyed. I hear people saying, Christmas is all about family. I think, nah, not really all about family. It's something else that's important at Christmas. It is partly about family, but, I mean, primarily it's about God becoming a human being. But it is also about family in that we heard in our epistle tonight that we are all adopted into God's family because of what Christ has done through our baptisms. So we are all adopted into a family. It is all about family because we're all family. And we are meeting together to give thanks to God for all that he has done. Now, in families, you find that people know each other better than outside of families. Do you know God? Do you know God? Not just about God, but do you know God? God is our Father. Do you know him as a Father? God is not a set of propositions. There are plenty of statements about God. But how can we know him? St. Paul says in Philippians 3:10 in one translation, all I care for is to know Christ. So how do we know him? If I wanted to get to know you, I could lay you on a special table, do a brain scan, maybe take a biopsy, take some blood, examine it, test it. But what's it going to tell me? It's not going to tell me about you. It'll tell me what's in your body and if there's any infections and things like that. How do I get to know you? You have to reveal yourself to me. It's the only way. You have to reveal yourself to me. Now, let's say you start revealing yourself to me. Then I have to use my reason to evaluate what you're saying. If you tell me that you come from Mars, I'll probably question it. Maybe one day Elon Musk will be able to say that. I don't know, but right now, nobody can say that. So I use my reason. I'm using something that's given to me, which is my brain, and then something else is given to me, what you give me. And it's the same with God. God wanted us to know him. He wants us to have a relationship with him. So he became a human being in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. He has revealed himself to us. This is partly what this feast is all about. God becoming a human being. And that is one of the great claims of Christianity, that God has revealed himself. Now we have to use our reason to check whether what he's revealing makes sense. How do we learn more about him? We have to listen to him, hear what he's saying. And that comes through the Holy Scriptures, God's holy written word. And as we read the Gospels especially, we hear the words of Jesus while he was on earth. We learn how he lived, how he wants us to live. And he gives us his guidance as to how we can live and how we can know him. Actually, we're just going to, the beginning of next year, the first weekly email, we're going to explain to you how you can start reading through the Bible from cover to cover. Because we're going to do that again. We've just finished the cycle. We're going to start again. And anybody who has never read through the Holy Scriptures, you should. And we'll give you the explanations to how to do that at the beginning of the year. Finally, I want to finish with a family story about Christmas. And it was an ordinary family who, this is a true story, they all got their, well, they went to church like we've come to church tonight, Sunday morning, the next morning, Christmas Day, they opened their presents together. And the father of the family said to everybody, which is your favorite present out of all the presents that you've been given? So they all picked their favorite present. And they're all very excited that this is their favorite present. And then the father said, this afternoon, we're going to go to the local orphanage. I'm going to give that present to an orphan. And the man who was sharing this story said, they were shocked. This was their favorite present. It was so hard. But the father explained to them, he said, I want you to understand how hard it is to give your favorite toy away. What did God do? For God so loved the world that he gave a toy? No, he gave his only begotten son, so that all who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. When we think about that story, it sort of helped me to think, wow, how much God loves me. How hard it was for the child to give away his favorite toy. It's not easy. How hard, we kind of assume, yeah, God just sent Jesus. That would have been very difficult. It would have been a challenge for him. But he loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son, so that believing in him, we might have everlasting life. Isn't that wonderful? Christ is born.